A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back to Unrivaled on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Scott Mitchell and filling in for Alex Keery is, of course, Tom Hackett, KSL Sports insider, former Ute punter, great. Welcome back to the show. I gotta mention this to you before we get to Coach Gordy Chiesa, Tom. If you're gonna go to the Rose Bowl, because let me just if you've been under a rock and you're listening for the first time out there in listening land, people, Utah, the University of Utah. It's giving me chills right now just thinking about it. I'm getting emotional. Is going to play in the Rose Bowl. And if you're going to go play in the Rose Bowl, there's no better opponent than the Ohio State Buckeyes, right? I mean, maybe Michigan, but definitely Ohio State.
Without a I would favor Ohio State over Michigan because Utah played Michigan a couple years ago.
Yeah. They've been there, done that.
Yeah, they've done that. It's time for the Buckeyes to get a little Utah football treatment, in my opinion.
Would you like a little history lesson really quick?
Sure.
Okay. Utah's only played Ohio State one other time. 1986.
Okay.
Guess who was there? That would be me. We lost 64-6. I was at the game. And I'm going to tell you, I was redshirting, but they let me travel with the team. We were starstruck. They put it on us.
And this was in Columbus?
Oh, yeah. It was in the Horseshoe. I mean, it was like, I was like, man, I remember, because I come from a small town in Utah, and here I am. It's like the big, you know, it was this iconic stadium. Anyways, all right, hey, we got to get to Coach Gordy Chiesa here, which is presented by Divvy, the modern financial platform for business. See how you can spend smarter at GetDivvy.com. All right, Coach, we hope you're there out in Never Never Land. Welcome to the program. How you doing?
Thanks, Scott. Hey, Tom. How you doing?
G'day, Coach. Well, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Where are you? Where are you, Gordy?
I'm in Salt Lake City as you speak right now. I've been traveling a lot recently, but I'm back in Salt Lake, and it's been good.
So did you know that Utah won? Utah meaning the University of Utah, because there's the Utah Jazz and then there's the Utah Utes. Did you know they won the Pac-12 and they're going to the Rose Bowl?
Oh, very much. I'm excited. I'm a big Utes fan for many men since 1989, since you played, as a matter of fact.
Ah!
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I know the coaches, literally for the last 30-something years. So I'm a believer, and it's great. There's a lot of adversity this year, and the Utes, again, it sounds so cliche, but they played as a unit, and that adversity brought them together as one, and they performed, and they got better each week. And that's a sign of superior coaching and really wonderful playing, where the guys took it serious and got better, and they played to their potential versus playing either up or down versus who you play against. It's a huge factor, whether it's Pac-12 football or whether it's the NBA basketball.
Yeah, isn't it a beautiful thing when you have the talent and the coaches put a plan together and you execute the plan and you win? It really is. It's a beautiful thing. So the Jazz are on this. They've got this. I guess what is it? 4-game road swing here. They won a really unusual game at Cleveland. They were up by 15. They lose the lead late, and then they win a close game. As a coach, how do you manage like a road game like this? What is kind of your focus, and how do you keep the team on an even keel in this situation?
Well, Scott, the game yesterday, the Jazz were up 15 in the fourth quarter, and then they had those costly turnovers, and that gave the life to the young, talented, up-and-coming Cleveland Cavaliers, and then suddenly they got in transition off steals and were making rainbow threes in a 15-0 spurt. So as a coach, what you want to try to do, even with a veteran team, you want to go back to fundamentals and calm down the group and respect the possession. And if you're going to miss a shot, that's one thing, but when you have live ball turnovers, that gives the opponent. So yesterday in the game, Scott and Tom, they had 12 steals to Cavaliers, and the Jazz have 17 turnovers, and that was a huge factor when the Jazz were outscored in the fourth quarter, 26-18. However, quickly, that Donovan Mitchell rose to the occasion, certainly, and that Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert was absolutely sensational the last 5 minutes of the game, both offense and defense.
Going back to your coaching days, obviously, it's a long NBA season. It always has been, but we're 23-odd games into this thing now. Is this around the time coaches and fans start to gain confidence in knowing what this team's all about? Is this about the time?
Yeah, very much. The time's right now. So Jazz stand at 16-7. They won 4 in a row. They're 8-10 the last 10 games. That's the metrics. But as far as the visual and the vibe of the team right now is they're absolutely playing better. So the fans see it, and more importantly, the team that sees it right now. The greatest as far as improvement for the Jazz, for the last, say, 3 weeks, just for the narrative, is their three-point shooting. To start this season, they were absolutely misfiring, and now, right now, they're first in the NBA in most made threes per game at 15.6, and they're absolutely trending up. And now, also, they're sixth in the NBA, which is at 36.9. And, Tom, they used to be like 24 about 3 weeks ago as far as overall shooting, so as far as three-point range. So the Jazz have shot much better. And then the question is why, how? Very simply is that there's better ball movement and there's less dribbling. Scott, all I know is this. Like any sport, when the ball moves, the scoreboard moves. When the ball sticks, the scoreboard sticks. And it sounds so elementary, but it's absolutely crucial as far as an NBA basketball.
I'm telling you, the greatest coaches I was coached by and the greatest players that I watched play, the game was simple. And I get this. And a lot of people make it a lot harder than it actually is. So you made a comment a minute ago, and I'm curious about this because it clearly feels like Donovan Mitchell is really starting to round into shape here, and his game is really kind of getting to where I think we thought it would be. As a coach, when do the players take over? You know, because I hear Coach Whittingham talk about this, and he said, you know, when the players kind of take ownership in the program and they start leading, and it's almost as if the coach does less. How does this happen, and when does it happen? Because I would imagine that Donovan Mitchell's kind of one of those guys where he just says, all right, I got this. I got it. I'm going to take care of it, and I'm going to just take over a game.
Very much. So that's the trust factor. You described there is that there's an evolution of the trust transfer between the coaching staff to the players and next level to the elite players, star players. So in practice, the coaches are number one, where they dominate practice as far as the teaching drills. Then it flip-flops in a game where the coaches are a distant second, even though there's preparation before, to say the least, but the players take over the game. So in Jazz basketball, Utah football, as far as situation, there was that transfer of trust, and it's invisible, but you feel it all the time. And that's Donovan Mitchell, and that's Mike Conley. So, Tom, right now, with Mike Conley, he's the guy that in Jazz basketball has played very well. He's first in the NBA in three-point shooting at 47.5. So I mentioned about the Jazz three-point shooting as far as upticking. He's a huge factor in that. So the Jazz coaches, they trust the backcourt of Donovan Mitchell, who's an elite talent, and the steadiness of Mike Conley, that's a proven ball handler, decision maker, and now he's a knockdown shooter. And then there's always Rudy Gobert as far as his all-around brilliance. He's first in the NBA in rebounding. He's second in the NBA in shot blocks. And you get the feeling that he's a nasty guy, too, in a great way.
Over the last couple of years, the Jazz have obviously been really formidable in the Western Conference, Coach. They've, you know, been one of the better teams throughout the regular season. In the playoffs, they've been good as well. But I think, you know, for Jazz fans out there, and I'm looking big picture now, Coach, when the Jazz do make the playoffs this year, they're going to have to deal with small lineups. It's been kind of their nemesis over the last couple of years. Teams going small on them, and with Rudy Gobert and some bigger centers, they have had a hard time defending. How is that, and why is that going to change this year?
Well, they added Rudy Gay to the mix right now, so they could go ultra small, where instead of playing Whiteside with 15 minutes a game, and in place of Rudy, Rudy's in foul trouble, which happens often in playoff games. It's an amazing phenomenon. In playoff games, there's always foul trouble because you're taking pride in your defense and the ability to stop the rival players that are talented. So Rudy Gay is a huge factor in that mix as far as they can go small ball and play Rudy at five, and he's a knockdown three-point shooter as both seasonally but also career-wise. He's shooting right now from three-point range, 47.8. So the difference now is less Whiteside could be and Rudy Gay as far as in the small ball. Plus also, 1 year later, Tom, there's the experience of doing it. Last year, the Jazz were shell-shocked, even though the coaches talked about it. On the court, they were slow as far as reacting to it. You're talking about the Clippers, where they knocked them out four straight after being up 2-0 in the Jazz. But now, 1 year later, they're absolutely more experienced. And when it does happen, which will be a task at them, they'll be more ready for it mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Wow, even spiritually, I like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. No, Craig, excuse me. What's happening right now, Scott, is that there's definitely a higher being in this whole thing as far as, hey, you played in many games where you threw the pass to the wrong guy, and guess what? The guy still caught it. Right. It happens. I mean, it's just like an NBA basketball where you do a lot of things right and suddenly the shot's missed. You do a lot of things wrong. Guess what? The shot goes in. How do you figure it out? I have no idea. It's called Murphy's Law. Or is it Tom Hackett's Law?
Maybe
it's Tom Hackett's Law.
Yeah,
maybe.
It could be. There's no explanation to it other, you know, science can't explain it, so it's got to be spiritual.
No, I'm kidding, but I'm not.
No, I'm with you.
It's way beyond just playing, especially in playoff games. In playoff games, the intensity is incredible. That's why these young fellas come to the NFL, to the NBA, even though they're talented and they're absolutely athletic and they look great, but it's that mental focus and the tenacity you need to play through physicality. And by the way, the other guys are good you play against, especially in playoff games.
All right, Coach, you got a list for us. Let's hear it.
This list today, Scott, is in honor of Rudy Gobert. When I was watching the game yesterday, and that was really a hard-fought game, the Jazz hung tough to win, was that there was there was two guys in the top 10 that were leading the NBA in shot blocking. So I made a mini list right now. This is a total block shot leaders just this season, the total blocks, the top 10. So I'm keeping it a quick list. Number 10, New York Knicks, Mitchell Robinson blocked 34 shots. Number 9, from the Boston Celtics, Al Horford blocked 35. From the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo has blocked 36 shots. Now, the guy played yesterday, young major talent, age 20 years old, a former from USC, Evan Mobley from Cavaliers, has blocked 38 shots. Number 6, Jazz play against him on Wednesday, Daniel Gafford has blocked 40 shots, this Saturday, from the Washington Wizards. Number 5, from the Memphis Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson Jr. has blocked 46 shots. I tie for number 3, Anthony Davis from the Lakers and Mo Bamba from the Orlando Magic blocked 51 shots. And number 2, our own Rudy Gobert as second in the NBA in total
Rudy.
Block shots at 52 block shots, which he averages 2.3 blocks per game. And the number 1 total shot block leader this year in the NBA is Miles Turner, Indiana Pacers, has blocked 67 shots for 2.8. Quickly, the physical and mental attributes of elite shot blockers are 1, positioning, 2, timing, 3, length, 4, quick elevation, and 5, discipline. And in Jazz, let's tie with it right now in Jazz basketball. Mark, the late, great Mark Eaton is the four-time leading shot block in history of basketball with 3,064. The number one leader as far as all-time block shot leader is Hakeem Olajuwon with 3,830.
Oh, yeah.
And last but not least, Rudy Gobert, as we speak right now, in his 9th NBA season, is the 56th all-time leading shot blocker with 1,272, and I get the feeling, Tom Hackett, that he's going to climb up very highly in that list someday.
Let's go, Rudy. Hey, I love the list within the list. That is Coach Gordy Chiesa, Utah Jazz Insider. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Scott. Peace out. See you, Tom.
See you, Coach. Glad to hear you doing well.
All right, let's take another break here, but when we come back, we have got your weekend warriors, and oh boy, do we have a list for you today. It is unrivaled. It is 97.5, 1280, The Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.